Philippians chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Page 1322 in the New Testament. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us this reading from his holy and infallible word. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul was an evangelist, one of the greatest evangelists, if not the greatest evangelist, the church has ever seen. And the Apostle Paul was also a teacher and a steward of the mysteries of grace. He was able to bring out of the Word of God treasures, old and new, for the benefit of God's people. But with all of that, the Apostle Paul was first and foremost a pastor. A pastor. He had an abiding concern for the welfare of people. And his concern was especially that they come to know and to believe and to love the gospel. The Apostle Paul wanted the people to whom he ministered to grow in the gospel. The many letters that we have from the hand of the Apostle Paul certainly reveal this concern for people. And there are probably many other letters that have not survived to become a part of our Bible. But this letter to the Philippians has survived. It is the inspired Word of God and is part of Holy Scripture. It has been called a typical specimen of a pastoral letter to a devoted congregation. For in it we see the pastoral concern of a true shepherd of the flock. Very early in this letter, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul uses the word partnership. Verses 4 and 5, Paul says he always prays with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul wrote this letter very late in his missionary experience. He wrote it from Rome during that imprisonment described for us in the final chapter of the book of Acts. And he mentions this in the first chapter of Philippians, I am in chains for Christ. But in spite of his separation and distance from the Philippians, and in spite of totally different circumstances, Paul has a lively sense of fellowship with the Philippians, of partnership with them. There is a mutual concern and affection. They are partners together in the gospel. And Paul says in verse 7, I have you in my heart. Isn't that a marvelous thing for a pastor to say concerning his people? I have you in my heart. And then he goes on, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Now, as far as we know, there were no major problems in this church in Philippi. Oh yes, we have Syntyche and we have Euodia, and they didn't seem to get along too well together. And Paul addresses himself to that problem, but beyond that, there are no major issues to which Paul is addressing himself in this letter. He expresses his genuine and general pastoral concern for the welfare of this congregation that he has nourished from infancy. And so we see how Paul is able to rejoice with those who rejoice. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Brothers and sisters, I would like for us this morning to explore in just a bit more detail this partnership in the gospel. What did partnership in the gospel mean for the Apostle Paul? And what does it mean for us today? May I suggest to you that partnership in the gospel is, first of all, partnership in the truth of the gospel. And secondly, that partnership in the gospel is partnership in the work of the gospel. Another word for partnership is fellowship. Fellowship in the gospel. And people today are concerned to have good fellowship. I would be quite surprised if that were not one of your concerns today, to know and to experience good fellowship. Just this past week, one of the members of the congregation spoke to me about the need for developing a sense of community, of sharing, of fellowship. Now, there are some people who prefer to be by themselves, who prefer to be alone. Maybe we all do from time to time, but that's not the prevailing sense of the community. We want fellowship. We enjoy being with one another. We're on the lookout for good fellowship. And church, well, that's the place where we expect to experience lots of good fellowship. And there are many who come to church mainly for this purpose, to find fellowship. And certainly the Apostle Paul found fellowship in the church. But now, what kind of fellowship is it that we are looking for? Are we talking simply about togetherness with the primary focus on social interaction? Is that what we're looking for? We have a room in our church that we call the Fellowship Hall. And we meet there and we talk with one another. And sometimes we eat there and sometimes we play games there. And sometimes, at least I've heard in any case, that we play ping pong there. And do I have it right that we race toy automobiles there? We have all kinds of fun and fellowship there, and that's right. All of that does belong to the fellowship of the church, and it offers to the members of the church and to the community a time to get together, good fellowship. But you sense at once that the fellowship, the partnership that Paul is talking about, runs deeper than just social contact. It is fellowship in the truth of the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. How do we know that? Well, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where we read about the life of the church as it began to develop at Pentecost. 3,000 people converted, and then we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They devoted themselves, first of all, to teaching, to instruction, to the doctrine of the apostles. That came first. And out of that shared devotion to the truth arose that wonderful and intimate fellowship of the early church. The Apostle John speaks the same way in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that is, the truth of the gospel, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A common sharing in the truth of the gospel is the foundation for our fellowship in the church. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we are tempted to think that fellowship is something that we can enjoy in spite of our differences in doctrine. That doctrine often gets in the way of fellowship and is a hindrance to good fellowship. Maybe you can think of situations where you have had that kind of reaction. Well, we may not agree on some major questions about the truth of the gospel, but at least we can have some good fellowship together. And there are no doubt times when a common faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior does lay the foundation for fellowship that is genuine, for fellowship that is fellowship in the gospel. But brothers and sisters, the gospel itself moves us beyond that point. As the area of shared truth expands, as the area of shared truth expands, so our fellowship is deepened and strengthened. The truth of the gospel, the doctrines of the Christian faith, those are not the things that divide Christians from one another. Doctrine does not stand in the way of fellowship. Doctrine, teaching, instruction, the truth is what unites the people of God and enables them to participate together in a rich faith. We have fellowship together precisely because of what we believe. Fellowship or partnership in the gospel is partnership in the truth. The three doctrinal standards of the Christian Reformed Church, what are they? Belgic Confession, Heidelberg Catechism, Canons of Dort. And do you know what we call them? We call them the three formulas of unity. We don't call them articles of separation. We call them the three forms of unity. They summarize the gospel truth that binds us together as the people of God in the Christian Reformed Church. Now the practical payoff is this. As we devote ourselves to the teaching or the doctrine of the apostles, we will find that our unity, our fellowship, our partnership is growing proportionately. Because shared truth leads to shared life. And that is exactly why the Apostle Paul, in his letters, Philippians, Romans, and the rest, spends so much time on doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. He spends so much time on those things precisely in order to deepen and strengthen the fellowship of God's people in His church. And as we strengthen the fellowship of God's people together, we grow in the image of Christ and in fellowship with the Father and His Christ. When we get excited about the truth of the gospel, then we want to be with other people who are also excited about the truth of the gospel. And we emphasize this word truth because we know what we're talking about when we say the truth. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came in the fullness of time to give His life as a ransom for many. He bore the penalty of sin on the cross, and then He was buried, and then He rose again the third day from the dead, and that was a miracle. And He ascended into heaven, and He rules from on high. Those are the glorious truths of the gospel in which Jesus Christ comes to us. Jesus comes to us clothed in His gospel. And so when we say fellowship in the truth of the gospel in doctrine, we are talking about partnership with Jesus Christ, the living Savior. Our fellowship, our partnership is with Him. And we want the gospel truth because we want the Savior who is presented to us in the gospel. And through the proclamation of the truth, we have come to know and to believe in Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been joined to Him. And being joined to Him, we have been made clean in Him. We have been sanctified and made holy. And that's why Paul addresses his letter to the saints. The saints in Christ Jesus. In Philippi. Partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the truth of the gospel, a source of lasting joy for the Apostle Paul and also for us. Because it is partnership in the truth of the gospel, it is partnership in the Savior of whom the gospel speaks. Brothers and sisters, because we share a common salvation, we also share a common task. And so we have fellowship in the work of the gospel. Now that's point two of this sermon, but for your relief, I'm not going to preach point two today. We're going to stop with point one, and we're going to think about that fellowship in the truth of the gospel, and then, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to come back and see where that leads us in terms of our fellowship, our partnership together in the work of the gospel. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you want Cottage Grove Church to be a place where you can experience good Christian fellowship? Do you want it to be a place where you can experience true and lasting fellowship? Do you want our church to be a place where people who move into our community, who are newcomers in the community, will feel at home and be received? And do you want Cottage Grove Church to be a church where people who are new to the faith and are just learning the basic elementary things will also feel at home and want to be and want to grow? Then let our church be a place where you and I are devoted, first of all, to the truth of the gospel. And as we love the truth, we love one another, and we love those whom God is pleased to bring to us. Now, some of you meet together once a month on a Sunday evening after church. And you come together for Bible study and for fellowship. And you see the order? The Bible study. The truth of the gospel. And how that nurtures faith. And your elders and deacons would like to have more of us involved in that Bible study so that our fellowship will grow. As a matter of fact, we would like to have every member and friend of Cottage Grove Church involved in one of these Bible studies. And they're going to take place on the third Sunday evening after the evening service, and you're going to hear more about these Bible studies as time goes on. But already now, as you think about your fall schedule, may I ask you to reserve that time on Sunday evening and plan to participate in Bible study and in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. But there's something that I want to ask of you right now. We have come together this morning in worship. And we have lifted our voices in praise to God, and we have prayed to God, and we have listened to His holy and infallible Word, and we have been instructed in the truth of that gospel. And now let that bear fruit in our fellowship together. At the end of the service, we're going to listen to Mr. Molyneux, and then following that, let me ask that you not simply rush away from the building, but take time to enjoy that fellowship in the truth. And I want you to look around at your fellow worshipers. And I want you, each one, to spot someone to whom you have not spoken recently. I don't mean someone that you don't get along with. If that happens to be the case, so much the better. But just someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. I want you to go up to that person. And if you don't know how to begin the conversation, just say, "Pastor said this morning that we should have fellowship together, and I haven't spoken to you in such a long time. How are you? Isn't it wonderful that we can worship together in our church?" Will you do that this morning so that we can begin to experience in a new way that fellowship, that partnership in the truth that gave so much joy to the Apostle Paul and can be a source of joy for us. And as we rejoice in that partnership, we're ready to go to work for the living God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us together in this church. We thank you for the confessions that we have that summarize your truth and bind us together in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Give us a deep and abiding love for the truth. And in that way, Lord, bring us closer to one another so that our labors will be in the gospel and not in vain in the Lord. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.